Hi, people. Welcome back to Dr. Sam's Musings. I hope you're having an amazing week so far. Yes, this is the last episode in this season. This isn't that I've called my season of inconsistency. I apologize, guys. It was just all sorts of things going on, all sorts of distractions. But I hope that I've made it worthwhile. I hope that I've made up for it by making the episodes interesting and, you know, having things that we can all learn from. Again, let me say thank you to people that turn up week after week to listen to me ramble on. It's always so heartwarming when I haven't put out episodes and people actually reach out to me and ask, Sam, no episode this week. It makes me feel very special, like you guys are listening. And to think that we now have like regulars, people that are always listening every week and come back and give me their feedback. I really appreciate it, guys. Thank you for fanning this flame and giving me wings to fly. So to end this season, I want to talk about a very unique type of relationship. Excuse me, and one that I had actually forgotten that I wanted to talk about until I had a meeting a couple of days ago, and somebody was sharing with me her experience with this group of people, and I thought, you know what, yeah, I should actually do a podcast episode on this. So to close up the season on relationships, we're going to be talking about relationships with in-laws. So to get right into it, I'm going to start by saying that honestly, I have been super duper blessed in the in-law stakes on both sides. So my husband is married into a close-knit family, and I cannot recall having any in-law issues. Never ever. It's a family, and even with your own nuclear family, with your parents, with your blood siblings, your half siblings, whatever, you will have issues, you know, that's normal. But I've never had anything outside the ordinary. I've never ever had reason to regret being married into this family. I've never, you know, nothing like that. So I'm in a huge alhamdulillah. And on the other side, my brother is married to someone that I don't even like calling her my sister-in-law. She's my baby sister. I love her to bits. She's amazing. And I pray that, you know, I continue to be the best big sister to her. So I've been doubly blessed in the relationship stakes. And I feel like because I've also been privy to seeing how some, especially mothers-in-law and older sisters-in-law, have treated people that I know, I realize how blessed I am. And it was one of those experiences, seeing firsthand a toxic mother-in-law, that made me very deliberate and intentional about praying for the kind of family that I ended up in and, you know, the type of mother-in-law that I had. So to start, the first thing that I would say is that if you're not married or you're newlywed or you're already married or whatever, never stop praying for your husband's family, because people seem to forget that no matter how much you love your husband, no matter how much you are your own unit now with your own kids, he still belongs to another nuclear family. You know, you're his nuclear family, his primary nuclear family, but he has a secondary nuclear family. And you cannot remove the man from his family, except in very rare occasions So it's very important that you pray not just for your spouse, but for his family as well. And pray that, you know, your union is one that unites two families and not become a reason for divisiveness or, you know, turmoil or things like that. Pray. And pray that God teaches you how to be the best to them and God teaches them how to be the best to you. So the first thing I would say is tools for great in-law relationships is prayers. I've seen relationships that started out on the worst of footings and they became the best relationships in-law-wise. And I've seen the opposite, where they started off really cool and after a few years, everybody was just like, I beg. So it's very important that you pray for continued love, affection and whatnot between you and your in-laws. If you love your spouse, that's what you want. You want him to not have to choose between you and your husband. You want him not to have, you know, anxiety every time there's a family function and you have to interact with his family. And, you know, on the other side as well, you don't want a situation where every time your husband is going to meet your parents or your siblings or your own brother's wives are coming over or something, there's tension. You want a whole, you know, blend of families and whatnot. So it's very important to pray. Second thing I will say is when you're married into a family, and I see this one play out a lot, remember who you are. Remember that you have your uniqueness, you have your strengths, you have your weaknesses, and stay true to who you are. So I, for one, I'm in an intertribal marriage. So I'm 100% Yoruba girl and I'm married to a man who's half Hausa from Katsina and half Ibira from Kogi State. And I remember that I knew from the jump that I didn't want to lose who I was. I didn't want to let go of my culture or my traditions or the things that I grew up doing to blend into, you know, his family. Not that there's anything wrong with his family or their cultures, but I feel like there was something in me that appealed to him And me losing that might make him, might lose some of that appeal. So there's a reason why he married outside his tribe. There's a reason why this, there's a reason why that. So I always knew that I wanted to be a bridge between cultures. Mind you, both families, mine and his, are not like traditional families. But I didn't want a situation where I would suddenly start dressing a certain way or speaking a certain way or eating certain types of foods and forget where I had come from. I wanted to be unique and introduce my flavor into the family. And I think that that's the beauty of intertribal marriage, is the mesh and blend of cultures and traditions and things like that. So from the jump, I knew that I wasn't going to move to Abuja and suddenly start wearing only Ankara dresses and cooking only certain types of soups. So even now, when I'm going to send food to my mother-in-law, for example, I would cook things that I cook very well, and I want to maybe introduce her to, like, the way that I cook my okra or the way that I cook my vegetable soup or things like that. Those are the things that I will send to her. I don't think that there's any point in me trying to impress my mother-in-law and cooking the kind of soups that they already cook in her house. It doesn't, I feel like, I just feel like it doesn't score me any points. But when I send her like a nice cooler or a nice bowl of okra that I've cooked my way and she really enjoys it, it makes me really happy that she enjoys my food. So hold on to your uniqueness. If you dress a certain type of way and this is what you're comfortable with and this is what your husband likes, don't feel the need to, because I want to please my in-laws, I'm going to lose all that and try and be more like them. Because here's the thing, it would never be authentic. You would always be trying to fit in because it just won't come naturally to you. It doesn't mean that if there are certain aspects of the culture that you like, you can't imbibe. You know, like, you, if you like certain things, like my daughter, for example, likes henna and likes some things. She likes the okra that they cook in my mother-in-law's house, for example, better than even the one that we cook at home. There's nothing wrong in it. You know, taking on part of that culture. But what I'm saying is, don't lose yourself so that when you go home, they'll be like, you've turned to this person or you've turned to that person. Remain who you are and show your uniqueness. Bring the beauty of who you are into the mix and add more flavor to the mix of the family. The next thing I will say is be neutral. And this one, I just laugh when I see it happening. You marry into a family and there's some sort of divisiveness in that family. Maybe, you know, you marry into a polygamous family, or you marry into just a family that maybe some siblings don't get along or whatnot. And you join them to be doing clique, or you join them to be playing sides, it will come and blow up in your face. Be kind, be respectful, be good, be loving, but be neutral. Don't join anybody in taking sides and, you know, inheriting enemies. Stay as neutral as possible and keep out of family politics. You don't need to know. Don't sit down and be gossiping with one person about the other. Don't. There's just no need for it, because when it blows up, you will be the outsider that everybody will point fingers at. So just stay neutral, be kind, be good, be respectful, be loving, you know, be friendly with everyone across board as much as you can. If there's a reason to keep away from someone, maybe because of some family, whatever, do it to the best of your ability, but don't pick sides. Don't be caught plain sides. Don't take on enemies that are not your own. Don't badmouth people or gossip. It would blow up in your face. Another thing that I would say is do away with preconceived notions. You know, there's that notion of the evil mother-in-law and the wicked older sisters-in-law and the rude younger sisters-in-law and the blasé brothers-in-law. Do away with all those things. Every family is unique and every human being is unique as well. Like, I have the world's absolute best mother-in-law. Like, there's nothing about my mother-in-law that I would change. She's very career oriented. Okay, now she's retired, but she reached the peak of her career. So she wasn't like a domesticated, like, a mommy that would be in the kitchen. No, my husband grew up with cooks and helps, and even when I got married into the family, that's what I knew. So my mother-in-law is not the kind of person that would, you know, poke her nose in your kitchen or how you run your home or things like that. In fact, I can count on one hand how many times my mother-in-law has come to our home. So she loves you from a distance. You know that she loves you, she supports you, but she gives you your space, and she is so kind, so supportive. I can't even gush enough about my mother-in-law. And you know, it just makes me think, imagine if I had believed that all mothers-in-law were some type of way and whatnot. And you have to understand that it goes both ways. It's not only when someone is kind and sweet and whatever to you that they're a nice mother-in-law. So if you do something wrong to your mother, she will scold you, but you will know that she's scolding you from a place of love and kindness. So if your husband's mother scolds you as well, take it in the same vein. It's better for them to scold you to your face and correct you to your face than pretend like it's all good and be harboring resentment and whatnot against against you. So don't exaggerate things and don't, you know, emotionalize things. Oh, my mother-in-law scolded me. The way they treat me, No, take things in good faith and don't read further meanings into anything. Give everybody blank canvases in your heart to paint on. Don't go in with any preconceived notions. I've heard young girls saying, oh, no, I'm not going to take any rubbish from any in-law. So they go into marriage with guards up, with defenses up, and little things that, you know, could be easily resolved blow out of proportion because of this in-law syndrome. So don't go in with any preconceived notions. Just go in, you know, deciding to be the best that you can be, showing love, showing kindness, showing respect, and, you know, take things as they come. If you have any issues with your in-laws, you have no excuse to be disrespectful. For as long as you won't be disrespectful to your own parents or your own siblings, don't go into someone's family and go and be disrespecting their parents or their siblings. If you have issues with your in-law, the person that is best is in the best position to deal with it is your spouse. If you talk to your husband and say, I don't like this thing that happened, I don't like that, it might be a misunderstanding, it might be something that he can, you know, deal with and you can move past. And if it's not something that you can deal with or move past, you know, just if you have to limit your interactions with people that, you know, maybe bring toxicity your way or make you feel some type of way, but there's no reason, there's never any excuse for disrespect or blatant rudeness, because it would only escalate and you would always be the one that looks like the bad person, because you will always be the outsider when things like this happen. But that being said, never allow yourself be a pushover. You should have a spine and speak up for yourself and be firm and whatnot, but you can be firm and with a spine with a lot of respect. So if you're being accused of something, for example, or you're being blamed for something, you can speak up and say, no, honestly, this is not how it happened, and speak up for yourself. Or if they're forcing certain things down your throat that you don't like or you don't want to be a part of, you can speak up and, you know, very respectfully state, you know, your stance and what you'd much prefer. But don't be a pushover, but don't also be a cantankerous or disrespectful, you know, person. And have healthy expectations. So for example, like I said, I love my brother's wife to bits. She's my little sister. All of my friends have adopted her like their little sister. She's just, you know, one of my most favorite people. And, you know, sometimes you kind of, I always expect the same thing on the other side. I always expect when certain things happen, the way that I will speak to her or the way that I'm with her. Sometimes I realize that I carry that expectation over to my husband's older sisters. And I realize that, you know, we're all just different. The way that I am and the way that they are different. So I cannot expect that because I'm this type of person, they automatically have to be that type of person. They have to be those types of people as well. So I've learned to manage my expectations and just take people for who they are, love them, you know, warts and all, love them for who they are, and, you know, just make excuses for people. Sometimes, like I said, you know, families, there are things that will happen that will make me roll my eyes or, you know, feel some type of way. But even in my own nuclear family, with my own parents and my own brothers, those things happen. So there's no point reading any unnecessary meanings into things and becoming, you know, Debbie Downer and feeling like, oh, my in-laws don't like me because of one or two incidences. You know, manage your expectations and just, you know, just remember that everybody is a human being. Nobody is out to get you. Nobody is, just manage your expectations. And I always say, you know, be a valuable member of the family. Nobody is asking you to try to score points or do oversabi, but be a valuable member of the family. Let them feel blessed to have you. If their family functions, if there are things happening, make yourself accessible, make yourself available to help. Don't make it a point where they have to call you or look for you before you do certain things. But even in those situations, I find for me, it's very important to kind of let people know who you are. So I'm a solitary person. I'm the kind of person, maybe because I'm an only daughter. I've always wanted to do things by myself. I like to run my own race and do my own things. So when there's a family function in my husband's family, for example, I like to be given my roles and responsibilities, and I will run with it and do what I need to do. I'm not the kind of person that likes to sit down and, you know, ponder too long over decisions. And no, just tell me what I need to do and I will do it. And I remember that there was a time that, you know, we had my sister-in-law, my oldest sister-in-law, and I had to have that conversation because she felt as though I was being distant when there was a family wedding and I wasn't coming around and asking what needed to be done. But I was like, everything that I have been asked to do. I've already handled. I'm just not the kind of person that, you know, sits around. It's just not me. And, you know, after that, I think we just better understood, you know, how the other person operates. So it's very important as well, if you have a style of doing things and it's not going to cause any, you know, any issues with how things are run, if you're still going to do what needs to be done, you know, it's okay to say, okay, is it okay if I just go and do my own thing and whatnot? Just make sure that you are a valuable asset to the family, just like you want to be with your own family as well. You want them, you want your in-laws to feel as if, ah, man, we gained a daughter, we gained someone valuable, not for eye service, but just because as human beings, as, and if, you know, you want to be a person of value. So any situation that you find yourself in, make sure that, you know, you're adding value. And then the one that I'm going to use to round up is something very important that my mother told me when I was going into marriage. She said, look, start at the level that you know that you can continue. It's better for you to start at a base level, and then you can build up on it and grow, you know, improve on it as you get to know your in-laws better, than for you to go and start at one level that you cannot maintain, and then you begin to depreciate in their eyes. And, you know, you see that a lot happening. Young girl gets married into the family. She's sending food to her mother-in-law every weekend. She's doing this, she's doing that. And she can't maintain that because, you know, life happens. She has other responsibilities. And then it looks like, oh, when she married us, she used to do this, she used to do that. Now she has, you know, left it behind. So it's very important to start where you can continue. Don't go and be doing eye service and overdo, because you will not be able to maintain it. And then you look like, oh, you started on this level and you dropped. Just be you. You know, if there's room for improvement, keep improving yourself, keep being better. But just always remember that no matter what, this is your family as well now. Treat them the same way that you treat your family. And even with an extra delicacy, because there are things that you get away with in your family that you might not be able to get away with in your in-laws family. So when I just got married, my husband was still living in the UK, was doing a certification, and I was shuttling between Lagos, Abuja, and the UK. So when I was in Abuja, we hadn't gotten our own place there. We were still trying to find a place and whatnot. I would stay in the family house, my mother-in-law's house, in my husband's room. And even though his room was downstairs away from the other rooms and it had his own like entrance and whatnot, I used to be so confused. I didn't know what was expected of me. Do I have to wake up in the morning and go and greet everybody upstairs? Do I have to go into the kitchen? My mother-in-law hardly cooks. I can't even remember ever seeing her cook. But, you know, I was like, ah, but me, I'm a wife in the family. Am I expected to go to the kitchen? Am I expected to cook for my mother-in-law? I didn't know what was expected of me. So I'm sure that, you know, a lot of times I put the wrong foot forward, but I guess they made excuses for me, and, you know, and I was also the first wife in the family, so I guess I got extra pampering and an extra buffer. But I'm just saying that, you know, you're trying to blend into a new family. You won't get it right, you know, off the bat. You're still trying to learn about them. You're trying to see how they operate, how things work. And there's also going to be, you know, in your mind, you're going to be comparing to how things run in your family that you're coming from and trying to strike a balance. Just give yourself time to adapt, for things to flow positively, learning every day and realizing that even you are not perfect, you know, there's always room for improvement. Because you did certain things a certain way in your husband, your father's house, does not mean that that's the right way or that's the best way. Be open to new things, you know, just with a good heart and with good expectations. And I think that if you went into marriage, or if you're in marriage with these, it would give you like a better footing or a better in-law experience. Now, to talk about instances where you're already in a marriage and you have a toxic in-law situation, I know someone that is honestly doing therapy because of her mother-in-law. That's how bad it is. And her husband keeps saying, oh, he can't talk to his mother because he doesn't want to disrespect her, in Islam this, in Islam that. And I want you to know, as women, that your husband has responsibilities towards his mother, but he also has responsibilities towards you. He's supposed to be your protector within his family. And a man cannot use an excuse of not wanting to, you know, displease his mother to let things deteriorate to a point that his wife is seeking therapy. The man has to be able to balance things. If things are going a certain type of way, you should be able to tell your husband, look, this thing that your mom said or this thing that your sister said really, really hurt me. Please, can you help me address it in a way that, because if I say it, it might come off as disrespectful or whatnot. Let him know how you feel. Don't bottle things up and expect him to be able to you know, tell. There are instances that, you know, women have told me, oh, you know, I expected my husband to stand up for me. I expected him. So I'm like, sometimes men are so clueless. And this thing that you feel is a big deal. Maybe that's how, you know, if their mother treats even their sister. So he's not seeing it as anything different or any type of way. But if it bothers you, sit down with your husband and say, look, this thing, I'm feeling some type of way about it. Like, can you help me address it? Maybe something that people say. For example, there's someone that told me, you know, I in-law speak on her as regards her weight. You put on weight, though. When we married you, you were this, you were that, you were that. And it hurts her feelings because she started to feel very self-conscious going to visit and whatnot. And there's a new wife in the family now, and there's constant comparison between her and this new wife. Meanwhile, she's had two children. She's been there for a while. And it hurts her feelings. So she's... I said, talk to your husband about it. He's the one that can, you know, in a nice way, talk to his mom and say, ah, mommy, you know that she's very sensitive about her ways. Maybe we should, you know, things like that. Let's ease up on it, small piece. It's bothering her, but she can't see anything. You know, it's your husband that can address those things. And like I said, if you have toxic in-law issues and, you know, you've tried everything, you've prayed about it, your husband has spoken to them and is not stopping, you just reduce your interactions with them. It's the best thing that you can do. Reduce your interactions with them and give yourself some sort of, like, thick skin about it. Like I said, don't play sides, don't engage in any family politics or whatever. Reduce your interactions to the barest minimum. Okay, we have to go and grace for Salako. We have to take the kids at the weekend. Reduce it to the barest minimum. Do what needs to be done and then keep away. There's no rule, there's no law that says that you have to be friends with your in-laws. So if you feel like your in-laws are toxic, I mean, I love when people get along with in-laws. I have good relationships with my in-laws, so I'm not going to preach don't get along. But I'm saying that if you are in a toxic situation where every time you spend time with them, you leave feeling some type of way, you leave feeling belittled or picked on or bullied, then reduce that interaction to the barest minimum. And remember a lot of times that these things are not about you. A lot of times, I read something recently where the guy was saying that, you know, especially women in the North, you know, a lot of them are wrapped around their children. So when the children get married, especially the boys, they feel like, ah, you know, I'm still part of it. They don't know how to let go. The mothers don't know how to let go. So they feel like they can also run their sons' homes as well. You know, you hear about mothers-in-law that would be the ones to pick the house up, that would be the ones to do this. And it's a power play. And a lot of times, it's not about you. It's about them. It's about their feeling of powerlessness now that, you know, their sons have sort of left their grasp. So if you understand that and if you approach it from that angle, you feel a bit more empathetic towards them. And you realize that this is not a personal thing. It's not me that this person has a problem with. It's her. She's the one that has, you know, this issue. And I'm not going to make it about me. So I was talking to someone as well, and she was sharing about how, you know, just she has a very, very extremely domineering mother-in-law who, and unfortunately for her husband, has to run every single decision through his mother. So they might have agreed on something and his mom will say no and he'll resign. And she's like, now, wow. And, you know, when she started talking to me, I realized she told me, you know, she was in the woman is the first wife in a polygamous home. This is. And I'm like, yes, that's it. You know, that was what she was holding on to, you know, being able to control and have power over her children. And it's not easy to just sever that cord because he's gone and gotten married. She's going to want to, you know, still hold on to the power or the hold that she has over him. So he is the one that is going to, you know, sensibly and intentionally extricate himself from his mom in a loving way as well. But just to let her know that, look, I also have a wife, you know, my decision with my wife, you know, is kind of more important because we're the ones that are going to do certain things than what you think about the situation. So if my wife and I have decided that we want to move into a bigger home, we need certain things, you as my mom cannot come and say, oh, no, I don't think you should move. You know, it doesn't make any sense. So if you look at it from the perspective of, look, this is not about me. My older sister-in-law, you know, picking on me is more about her. Maybe she was bullied. Maybe, you know, in her husband's family, she was bullied and she's just taking out that frustration on me. If you look at it from the perspective like of, this is not about me, I'm just being projected upon. I mean, it doesn't make it less annoying or less painful, but it does make it easier to bear. It makes it, you know, less likely that you internalize it and begin to believe the things that they say or they do. So I feel like just make excuses for them. If you have toxic in-laws, keep interactions to the barest, as in absolute barest minimum, and just guard your mental space. When you feel drained, when you feel whatever, go to your family, go and top up on love and affection and whatnot, and then go back and face the day. And another thing is, I know someone that deals with their in-laws with humor. Like, nothing they do gets to her. If they yap her, she'll keep quiet. She'll go home and go and just her husband, and they will laugh, and you know, she'll just laugh and move past it. So those are some ways that you can deal with it. Don't internalize things to the point that you know you can't even face them. You're timid, they bully you, they do all sorts of things. Don't let it get to that point. Like, stand firm, you know, but respectful, and just, you know, have your own defense mechanisms internally and externally to deal with their toxicity. And with these few points of mine, I'm going to end the episode now. I will be taking a 2-week sabbatical, and then we will resume for season 4. Can you believe that we've already done 30 episodes? Wow. If you have any ideas or suggestions or things that you would like to hear in season 4, please send me a DM or send a direct message on Anchor, and I would be very happy to take it on board. Thank you guys so much once again for listening in on this season. It's been amazing, and I cannot wait to be back. Bye.